This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Lord, we love you this morning, and Father, we present ourselves before your word, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in advance for every miracle, every healing, every sign, every wonder. God, we believe you to do so because you are awesome. Father, in your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Father, we ask that we would be transformed by your glory. Father, right now we thank you that your anointing destroys every yoke, removes every burden. God, whatever's heavy, whatever's been hard, we ask you for your anointing to remove those things off of people's lives in Jesus' name. You know what I just heard the Lord say? The anointing is like oil. Right? The anointing, in fact, in the Old Testament, it was anointing oil. Isn't that right, Sam? And there was a lot of preparation in this oil. They would take oil, and then they would take different fragrances and flowers, and they would put this oil into jars, and there would be fragrant oil. So there was preparation for that oil before the oil was ever used. Are you listening to me? So the anointing's like oil. And I just heard the Lord say, some of you have been in preparation. You have been in preparation, and within that preparation, God has been preparing your anointing. Hallelujah. God has been preparing your anointing. And when that anointing begins to flow, your life is going to change. In Jesus' name. I said, when that anointing begins to flow, your life is going to change in Jesus' name. Now, you know, you ever try to not get oil on something? It's impossible. When oil gets on something, everything on it gets slick. That's why the Bible says he anoints your head with fresh oil. So if you get oil on something, you can't make anything stick to it. So with fresh anointing coming upon you, the devil can't make depression stick. The devil can't make sickness stick on you. He can't make oppression stick on you. I came to tell you, the anointing's causing everything to slide right off of you. Come on, if you believe it, give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Someone say yes. In church, in the presence of God, all kinds of amazing things can happen, man. You just come out oily. Hallelujah. Come on, this week I'm going to be oily. Hallelujah. That stuff ain't going to stick on me in Jesus' name. You know what else the oil did? When they put the oil on the sheep's head, it would keep insects from burrowing in and getting into its brain. The anointing will cover you and not allow the enemy to come into your mind. Now, what I mean by that is thoughts can come, but the anointing will keep them from staying. Come on, someone say fresh. Last week I started a message, and it was entitled, I Hear the Sound. And what God gave us was that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The prophet Elisha went and he prayed. There was a famine. Because there was a drought, there was a famine. And so the man of God went and prayed. And he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It hadn't rained in months and possibly years. And so there was a famine there. And he says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Someone say rain. And in the Bible, there are at least three kinds of rain. We see that there is the rain of God's power. Someone say power. We know about power. God. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Are you glad that there's still power in the gospel? Come on, you sound like you're half convinced. Are you glad there's still power in the gospel? Can't preach the gospel without there being power. Amen. And so we have the reign of God's power. And then we have the reign of God's presence. We've seen the reign of God's power and the reign of God's presence in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas sang praises and the power of God rained down and everybody got set free. Amen. And so the reign of God's, and then we have the reign of God's favor. So we talked about some of those things, and we talked about what do you do when what you see, because what everybody saw was famine and drought, but what the man of God heard was the abundance of rain. So what do you do when what you see defies what you heard? What do? You keep going back to the source from where you heard, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Because eventually what you hear is going to overwhelm what you see. Did you hear me? I said it, that's why it's important for you to be in the house of God. Because eventually what you hear is going to overwhelm what you see. You might see depression, but what I hear is that he gives me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And eventually what I hear is about to overwhelm what I see. And so we talked about the rain, and then the rain began to come. And here's what God said. He said, you need to pray for the rain. You need to believe for the rain. Someone say pray. Someone say believe. We need to be releasing faith for the rain, because when I talk about the rain, I'm talking about we're already beginning to see the beginnings of revival. We're already beginning to see the beginnings of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The outpouring. What is an outpouring? Rain. Come on, somebody. And so God said, I want you to preach and declare rain. So pray for the rain. Believe for the rain. All through the week, be doing that. But then today, God gave me a secondary follow-up to that message. And here's the title of today's message. Praise brings the rain. Praise brings the rain. Are there any praisers in the house this morning? Amen. Amen. But listen, why don't you find your seat? Find your seat, and we'll get ready to move on in this morning. My name is Pastor Jason. For those of you that don't know me, thanks for being with us at Celebration. We just believe God has a word for you and for your family this morning. Appreciate it so, so much. Thank you, Sal. Psalm chapter 100. I'll get there in just a couple of minutes here, but Psalm chapter 100, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you'll speak through me to this people. Thank you for demonstrating the power of your kingdom, Father, the power of your word in this place. Father, we thank you that the spirit of wisdom and of revelation will be in operation in our midst. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Praise is not just music or songs that rhyme. Praise is not just what we do at the beginning of service. Praise is supernatural. Praise is supernatural. We'll say that one more time. Praise is supernatural. And it's okay for you to respond. One more time. Praise is supernatural. There we go. Hallelujah. There is tremendous power made available when we praise our God. Psalm 23, verse 26. God inhabits the praises of his people. Other translations say God is enthroned in the praises of his people. In other words, when we praise God, we are inviting him to come and rule and invade our situation. How many of you know when God comes and begins to set up his throne in our praise, in whatever situation we're facing, that when God comes and begins to inhabit and be enthroned in that praise, the situation has to change? Amen. I said amen. For some of us this morning, the assignment from heaven is to activate the weapon of praise in our lives. For others of us, the assignment from heaven this morning is to reactivate the weapon of praise in our lives. And so we all, everyone say we all need to be praising the name of our God. And this is why it's so important to every believer's life. And I'm going to show you why this morning. But I think first of all, we need to cover what is praise. What is praise? If praise brings the reign of God's power and presence and begins to change our life, then what is praise? In the Bible, there are four Hebrew words that I want to focus on this morning that give us the biblical definition of praise. Number one, the Hebrew word is yada, and it means to revere or to worship with extended hands, to give thanks. Okay, so that is yada, to revere or worship with extended hands. This is why we lift our hands when we praise God. Number two is halal. This is where we get the word hallelujah. It comes from the root word halal, and it means to make a show. I love that. There's so many directions to go with that. To make a show. Someone say make a show. To boast. Yeah. And thus to be clamorously foolish. Are you listening? Wow. Halal, to praise, means to make a show. To boast. Thus to be clamorously foolish. To rave about. Y'all ever eaten at a restaurant? That was real good. I'm talking about they put their foot in it good. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all aren't from the South. I don't even know if you know what that means, but it's just real good. All right? it's real good. I mean, when you leave that place, you're tweeting about it. You're like taking pictures on Instagram. Yeah, man, this amazing food. Like you're raving about it. You're talking to your friends about it. It's amazing, amazing food. Well, if we do that about a restaurant, we better be doing that about the name and the goodness of our God. Amen? And so it says to make a show, to boast. I love this to boast, that when you praise, you are boasting in who God is. God, you are good. God, you are faithful. God, I praise you that you're powerful. God, I praise you that you've never failed me. God, I praise you that you're faithful to me even when I'm unfaithful. God, I praise you that no weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. God, I praise you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. God, I praise you that you bore my sicknesses in your body on the tree, and by your stripes I am healed. God, I praise you that when I pray, mountains move. God, I praise you that the name of Jesus is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, I praise you that I am more than a conqueror. God, I praise you that you always lead me in triumph in Christ Jesus. I just feel like, does anybody else feel like boasting in him for a while? I feel like saying, God, I praise you that you saved me. God, I praise you that when I was on my way to hell, you reached into a miry pit and set my feet upon a rock. God, I pray, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? Is there anybody who wants to boast in the Lord with me? God, I praise you that you met my need. God, I praise you that you paid my rent. God, I praise you that I have breath in my lungs. God, I praise you this morning that I have clothes on my back. God, I praise you this morning that I woke up another morning. God, I praise you that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, I praise you that you are the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For God, you are my rod and my staff, and they comfort me. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. God, I praise you that you always lead me in triumph in Christ Jesus. God, I praise you that you're working all things together for my good. God, I see praise is boasting in the Lord. Can anybody just for a moment give God a shout of praise in here this morning? So it says to boast and to thus be clamorously foolish, to rave. This sounds like a football game, because you will have grown men that are 80 pounds overweight, paint their whole body the color of their team, and paint the logo of their team on their stomach, and jump up and down, and they're doing the wave all by themselves. This is lunatic. This is clamorously foolish, but yet they call themselves a fan addict. I'm a fan, but I'm an addict. A fanatic. And yet everybody thinks it's okay to shout, to jump, to paint themselves, and to be a fanatic at a football game. But the Bible says, really, that's not just invented for a football game. Really, that activity and that behavior is intended for us to give our God praise. So sometimes you may not understand, but sometimes I just might have to do a little dance. You know what I mean? I might just have to be a little bit foolish. And so God says, I'll choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Sometimes God will say, why don't you praise me right now? Have you ever found out that God will ask you to praise him in the most inappropriate times? I'm talking about like you know, I mean, the money's not there. You just had a horrible relationship end up. I mean, your kids are going nuts and stuff at work's going crazy. And then you come home and you're weeping and want to give up and pull the covers over your head. And God will say, baby, why don't you praise me? And you're like, really, God? Don't you see what's going on? And what we don't realize is that God knows your praise introduces your problem to your God. So there's a lot of preaching I could do on that, but I want to lay the appropriate foundation. Here we go. So the second, halal, to make a show, to boast, thus to be clamorously foolish. It's okay to dance. It's okay to shout. It's okay to spin, to rave about God. The Bible says all of this are ways you can praise. Someone say praise. Praise your God. Number three is todah, and that is an extension of the hand in adoration. Specifically, a choir of worshipers, confession, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, or an offering. And this is the fourth definition, ruah, to shout. To shout. I'm going to try that one more time. To shout. There we go, there we go, there we go. To shout, to raise a sound, to cry out, a battle cry. To sound an alarm. You know what sounding an alarm is? It means whatever's just been going on is over. When your alarm goes off, sleep is over. Come on, somebody. That when you start praising God, you are announcing to the devil, everything you've been trying to throw at me is over. This is sounding an alarm. In praise. And this is why, church, this is why the devil wants church to be quiet. When the Bible just said, shout, raise a sound, cry out, a battle cry, to sound an alarm, to shout in triumph, and yet the devil wants you to come to church and just be quiet. Because the devil knows if they ever learn to lift their voice in praise and shouting and dancing, that he begins to lose his grip on your life. Can anybody testify that when you haven't known what to do, you just started praising the name of your God and you felt depression beginning to leave you? You felt that thing coming against you beginning to have to go and dissipate? Because when you praise him, his power begins to fall. His power begins to reign. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Yeah. Now, I love this. Praise cannot just be in your mind. Praise must be expressed through words, song, shouting, and dancing. I'm going to say that again. Praise cannot just be in your mind. Praise must be expressed through words, song, shouting, and dancing. Now, this is important because I believe at some point during this message, we're going to demonstrate and give God praise. You may not know it, but I believe this morning God is shifting things in your life and shifting things in this church. Okay? Because he said the rain is going to begin to fall. Now, Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4. We'll just read these one after another, guys. Make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and that it is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Someone say praise. This is how we come into the presence of God. This is how his power begins to come into our lives. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Did you notice, church, that when God said to enter his presence, he didn't just say enter. He said you need to enter with something. You need to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And the Lord said this to me. He said, we need to stop coming into his presence empty-handed. This is why some of us are no longer experiencing God's goodness, God's power, and God's presence. Because when you first got saved, I mean, you would come to church and couldn't wait to praise God. Right? Someone singing Amazing Grace off-key on a jacked-up piano with a big old yellow foam thing shoved on top. And, I mean, just jacked up from head to toe and just singing Amazing Grace. And you just start weeping. Because the joy of your salvation was real. And Jesus had touched your heart and done something in you. And you knew I once was lost, but now I am found. Come on, somebody. And you would come to church and could not wait to praise God. But then 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years in, now we come to church and say, well, if the anointing shows up, I'll praise. And God says, you're not going to experience anything unless you start coming into my presence with something. If we come empty-handed, that this is the reason why believers come in and their lives aren't being transformed and radically changed, because we're coming in empty-handed hoping that God will do something. And God is saying, no, what I need you to do is come in with the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes praise is a sacrifice because you don't feel like praising him. But, oh, hallelujah. But what you need to realize is that the reason you don't feel like praising him is because you have problems. But here's what you need to know. Praise is a problem to your problem. I said praise is a problem to your problem. So when you come in and praise, here's what God said to me. He said, tell them I will use what they offer to do their miracle with. The reason why we praise is that when I offer something up to the Lord and I offer up a sacrifice to him, God says, I will turn around and use that to do your miracle with. So God says, you started with a sacrifice, but I'll turn your sacrifice into an investment. I don't know who's hearing me in this church today. God says, I'll take your sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah. I know it hurts right now, baby, but just keep praising. I know you don't know how it's going to turn around, but just keep praising. I know it looks like everything's going against you, but just keep praising, because I'm going to take that sacrifice. I'm going to take that sacrifice and turn it into an investment. I feel like praising God because I want to invest in my family. I want to invest in my walk with God. I want to invest in my church. So I'm going to take my sacrifice of praise and say, God, you are faithful. God, you are holy. Can anybody join in with me and give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Wow, wow, wow. I love this. I love this. So he'll take what you offer up and he'll use that to do your miracle. You remember the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish? That wasn't enough to feed 5,000 people, not counting women and children. Yet God, Jesus took the offering. Jesus took the sacrifice and used that to create a miracle in your life. Here's the reason why some of us don't praise. Because the devil says, what is your little praise against this huge, overwhelming problem? Come on, am I right about this? He'll try to discourage you. Why should you praise? You got this problem in this area and this problem in this area and this is falling apart and this is falling apart. Why don't you just sit here and just shut your mouth and you say, devil, you shut up. Because I serve a God who can take small things and do great things with them. All right, now, I got to hurry. All right, I got a lot of ground to cover. Okay, check this out. So then, I love this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Praise is a circumstance shifter. Praise is a circumstance shifter. That pray, when you're praising God, and I'll also write this down, praise will change your perspective. Come on. Listen, there's fresh revelation in here today, but I got to lay this foundation. Is anybody believing with me? Incredibly quiet and introverted today. Come on now, somebody. But I really feel like there's a fresh word in heaven and fresh revelation about praise in here this morning that will take us to another level and will allow his reign to begin to fall in greater measure. If you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. So then, this is huge, that praise will change your perspective. Praise, the devil wants us to focus on, praise is really a matter of focus. What are you focusing on? Because if you focus on what the devil is trying to do, you'll begin to magnify that. But if you begin to focus on your God, and are you listening to me? You will begin to realize he's bigger than the issue. He is great and greatly to be praised. All right, and so I'm going to get there and listen. I don't praise him because of what he does for me. I praise him because he's worthy. Someone says, why should I praise? I feel a praise break coming in here right now. Why should I praise him? I got this going on and that going on and that going on. Okay, all that may be true, but what you need to realize is that I praise him because he's worthy. I praise him because if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? I praise him, Robert, because if I don't praise him, the trees and the rocks are going to wave their hands and cry out. Is there anybody in this place that will give God a praise because he is worthy? Come on, I praise him because he's holy. I praise him because he's mighty. I praise him because he's faithful. I praise him because he died on a cross. But on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hands. Come on, somebody shout yes. Amen. You don't have to wait on a preacher. If you feel like praising your God, praise your God. Here's what God said to me in the first service. If you don't break the rules, you're going to get broken by the rules. I feel my help coming up in here right now. There was a woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. Somebody say 12 years. 12 years had an issue of blood, couldn't see her family, couldn't see her husband, couldn't touch her kids. But all of a sudden, Robert, she heard about Jesus. And the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, faith came into her. And the Bible says a sick, feeble, diseased woman began to press through the crowd. I feel like God saying, Celebration, I need you to press. I need you to press through depression. I need you to press through addiction. I need you to press through anxiety. Because if you can get into his presence and touch the hem of his garment, you shall be made whole. Hallelujah. Here's what God said to me. If you do what you've always done, you'll have what you've always had. Sometimes I'll be in my living room feeling like I want to throw things and cuss. I said, I feel. I didn't say I did it. I said I felt like it. Right? And how many of you know, the Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood. I know y'all are Jesus' second cousins, and you already been in the rapture and came back. You're so holy, but, right? Saw the red heifer, and you can give me the interpretation that I don't really care to hear about. But anyways, I'm just saying, but for me, I'm not as spiritual as you, okay? I don't understand the consummation of the ages and the second coming and the rapture of the church, if it's pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib. I don't know. I don't really care because I know it's going to happen the way he wants it to happen. But what I do know is that what I do know is that there is no weapon formed against me that is going to... I came to tell somebody, if there's been a weapon formed against you, I came to prophesy there's an expiration date on that weapon, because no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I feel like somebody ought to praise the name of the Lord their God. Come on, somebody shout yes. Shoo. I love it. I love it. Check this out. All through the Bible, praise always, someone say always, involves some kind of action. Some kind of action, whether it was doing something, sacrificing something, giving something. Woo! In the Old Testament, when they talked about praising and worshiping God, something had to die. They would kill a lamb. They would kill goats. They would sacrifice it as a burnt offering to the Lord. In the New Testament, we think when the Bible talks about praise and worship, we're talking about music. No, in the New Testament, something still needs to die. Your pride needs to die. That's why some of you haven't shouted yet. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all are worried, what's my friend going to think? What's my date going to think? Is there anybody else here that loves Jesus that I can date? I don't know how many people are single. Look around. No, I'm just playing. Hallelujah. Come on, you're too concerned about what other people think about you. But I'm telling you, sometimes in order to truly praise your God and clamorously become foolish, sometimes pride has to die. Sometimes me caring about what other people think has to die, because he is worthy of my best praise. I'll be in my living room and he'll say, why don't you dance right now? And I'll say, why don't you? I mean, I don't say that, but the thought does come. I don't want to, like, die. You know what I'm saying? I fear the Lord, you know? We said, why don't you dance right now? I said, oh, man. Right now? Like George Lopez, right now, right now? Maybe later, you know? like right? Maybe later. But listen, he'll say, why don't you dance right now? I say, but God, there's enemies stacked up on every hand. And you want me to dance? Because my dance is a demonstration that my God is bigger than my problem. The Bible says, praise the Lord in the dance. Praise him on the cymbals. Praise him on the harp. Praise him on the stringed instruments. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. I wonder if we can do it right now. Hallelujah. Come on, if you got breath, you can praise the Lord. I feel something moving, something changing. Feel his glory. It's like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Feel his glory. It's like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. I feel his glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Come on, prophesy. Feel his glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Feel his glory. Feels like heaven on earth. The reason I said prophesy is because some of you feel like it's been hell on earth. But God said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I came to say, get ready, because if you can praise the name of the Lord your God, you're about to see some heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. That's Bible right there. That's Bible in Deuteronomy. It says, it shall be as days of heaven on the earth. That's what it says. That's where God wants us to live. Are you listening to me? Come on, I came to the crazy church. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. But, and we say but. Miracles have been happening. Just last week, got two more miracle testimonies. Just last week, got two more miracle testimonies. What the doctor said was impossible, God reached down into a body and made possible. Jesus. All right, here we go. Here we go. Y'all turn me down. Am I making ears bleed? Sorry. Here we go. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, 19. There is power in agreement. Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is. By the way, we've been having a historic move of God in our students. I'm talking about, we went through about a year to 14 months where it was like pulling teeth to get anybody to want to praise God. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap a harvest if you do not faint. And every week we'd come in and say, God, I thank you that your glory is manifesting. God, I thank you that revival is happening. And about 6 weeks ago, all of a sudden, God knocked on the door and tapped us on the shoulder and said, guess what? Surprise. And I'm telling you, students started praising, students started jumping, students started weeping. They're all up here in the altar. God is moving by his Spirit. Can somebody praise God up in here? Woo! Coming up to me and say, Pastor, how do I stop smoking weed? Huh? How do I stop smoking weed? Coming to me and I'm giving them scripture and praying with them and believing God for them. And then God reminds me back to the day where students would come up and give me their bong and give me their pipe and actually give me weed. Here's the pastor with the weed. This is before it was legal. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, oh, Jesus, what do I do with that? Like, oh, Lord. It's like, go flush this joker. You know what I'm saying? What would that be like in the news? You know what I'm saying? But they'd come up, they'd give us weapons, they'd give us pills. I mean, they just gave us all kinds of different stuff, because in the presence of God, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. I said, he that the Son sets free is free. And I wonder if there's any free people in the building that can testify about Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, here we go. This is going to make some of you happy. Praise is not dependent upon your personality. Well, you know, I'm just a little shy, you know, a little reserved. I'm an intellectual. I'm introverted, and the Lord understands my heart. I'm not saying that you can't have a quiet, beautiful relationship with God, but you can't praise him quiet. How about that? I just saw that big old fat sacred cow and I just kicked it right in the teeth. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't praise God quiet. Every definition says you're doing something with your hands, your bodies, and your voice. Praise God with a shout. Praise God with a song. Praise God with a dance. Praise God with a spin. Praise God on the timbrel, on the drums, on the cymbal. But it's if you're going to praise God, you're going to be making some noise. Whew. Wow. I just heard the Lord say, praise, the sound of praise will drown out the sound of the devil. And I believe I heard the Lord say, if you would stop listening to the devil's song, you could join in with heaven's song. Right? Come on, it's like country music, man. Just play the record backwards. You get your truck back. You get your girl back. You get your... That's funny right there. I'm telling you what, man. Love your body like a back road. Whatever. I don't even know the song, but my wife came in singing it one day. I said, my God, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord up in here. Now, if it was anybody else other than my wife, I'd be concerned. But that chick is so ridiculously anointed, it's not even fair, man. I'm like, anyhow, I'm glad I married her. Hallelujah. Two is better than one, you know. Okay, come on. You guys happen to be in God's house this morning or what? Cool. Praise is not dependent upon your personality, whether you're shy, introverted, outgoing, or loud and obnoxious. Either way, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord with singing. Praise the Lord in the shout and in the dance. So, I love this. God gave me this, I believe, this morning or last night. God said, quit wearing the garment the devil gave you and start wearing the garment God gave you. Because the Bible says, the Bible says, Isaiah 61, he says, I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God says, if you'll put on your garment, heaviness will have to go. We want to wear, someone say wear, the garment of praise in our lives. Now, this is, I'm going to hang my hat here. They tell me I have about 3 minutes left, but in Jesus' name. No, I'm just playing. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. This is the account of where God's people were surrounded by three huge enemy armies. They were coming against God's people. They were incredibly outnumbered. And in the natural, it was certain defeat. I mean, they would have been taken out in the natural, all right? But the leader of God's people, I believe it was Jehoshaphat, he went and he sought the Lord. And when he came back, the Lord said, I'll fight this battle for you. And he came back to the people, and here's what happened. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise. Someone say praise. Praise the beauty of holiness. Of his holiness, as they went out before the battle. Before the battle ever happened, praise went out before. In the first service, God said this to me. He says, while you're praising, I can fight your future battles. Now, there is something about the nature of God that God has been really impressing upon me. He said, Jason, he said, the reason why people sometimes get bored or they get disillusioned or they get distracted is because they don't understand that even in praise and worship, while the word is being preached, the presence of God is here. And he says, they don't understand, I'm doing things in them that are beyond their consciousness. This is why children who are raised in church and mom and dad do their best to live it at home, this is why they won't, they might depart from the Lord, but they will return to him. Because God was doing things in them that are beyond their consciousness. So I used to fight my dad and hate my dad because he was bigger than me and could make me go to church. And I would spit wads in people's hair and I would do crazy stuff, but yet he made sure I was in those services. Because he knew every time that boy's in that service, hell's getting chipped off of him. Right? God is doing things in you that you don't even realize he's doing even right now. And while you praise God, God is fighting battles you can't even see yet. So, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. They went out before the army. Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22. And the Lord, now when they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. That's three enemy armies who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They were defeated. Because when you praise God, enemies get defeated. All right? So, but let's go to verse 25, because I think this is awesome. Verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and God's people came to take away the spoil of the enemy armies, they found among them abundance of valuables of on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off of them for themselves. For they couldn't even carry it all away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil because there was so much. This is why the devil doesn't want you to praise and get a heart of praise in your everyday. Because the devil knows on the other side of the battle and the other side of your praise, there is so much spoil that you won't even recognize your life if you'll get into what God has for you. Have you ever heard this? Damon Thompson taught us this years ago. The devil never goes to battle where there are no spoils. So then, what are the spoils? What about you and your household being saved? What about you and your household living and walking in God's destiny for your life? What about walking in a greater anointing and the fresh presence of God and the fire of God for your life? What about spoils or financial breakthrough for you and your family? Do you realize that if you will praise God, every enemy gets defeated? Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. All right. So then, I'll share this last, I believe, truth and revelation. David, team, you can go ahead and come back if you're coming. David was facing Goliath, and Goliath was an enemy of God, the Philistines. Goliath and the Philistines were an enemy army to God's people. All these battles in the Old Testament can be types and shadows of how the enemy will try to intimidate or come against us. The good news is God's already given us the victory. If we will walk in faith, live in praise, we will see the victory in every battle. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. And so... Goliath had come against the people of God. And here's what he said. He said, if I defeat, you send anybody you want against me. Goliath was, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 to 11 feet tall, depending on what scholar you read about. So he's huge. And everything about him was intimidating and huge and strong. And so he said, you send somebody out against me. And if I defeat him, your people serve my people. But if he defeats me, my people will serve your people. And you know what's intriguing? Is that the Bible never said Goliath killed anybody. That's... What am I saying? Many times, the devil makes himself look bigger than he really is. Because he is defeated. He is stripped. He is paralyzed by the King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords, and now it is our job to enforce the victory that Jesus already won. And so Goliath is there, and they're battling. Everybody in Israel is scared, and David just comes carrying cheese and bread. And he said, why are y'all scared? They're like, bro, he's 10 feet tall, 400 pounds, and he'll crush you. Because they were focused on the giant. Come on, track with me. They were focused on the giant. But David had just been in the wilderness worshiping and focusing on how big his God was. David said, this uncircumcised Philistine is while y'all are hiding. When I was in the desert, a lion came against me. And the Spirit of God, the anointing came on me, and I tore that lion apart with my bare hands. Then there was another time when a bear came against me and I tore that bear apart with my bare hands. This uncircumcised Philistine will just be, he'll be just like the lion and just like the bear. Sometimes when you're praising God, you got to remember what God has already done. Come on, has God healed you? Has God delivered you? Has God set you free? Has God made you the head and not the tail? Come on, if he has, somebody give God a shout of praise in here. Because what he has done, he will do again. And so David ran at the giant. Now this is crazy. Little obscure verse in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 gives the whole story of David and Goliath. But in 1 17 verse 1, it says this. It says, are you listening? Are you listening? It says that the Philistines and Goliath came into the land and they occupied the area that Judah had just left. Judah means praise. Are you? So, where praise ends is where the devil tries to come in. Here's what God told me to say. All of us have had times where we've been doing great in praising God. I mean, praising God in the good times, praising God in the challenging times, just praising God in our homes. Praise your Father that you're good. Praise your Father that you're faithful. Praise your Father, this situation looks horrible, but God, I praise you. You're good. You're helping us overcome it. And we're praising, and we just live in a lifestyle of praise. But then there's been other times where somehow that fell off. That's what happened here. Judah left. Praise stopped, and the enemy tried to come in. Are you listening to me? And yet, God says, that's okay. If you stop praising, I still have a praiser who can come take out the giant. Because David showed up against the giant and said, who I come against? You come against me with in the name of your army, in the name of your God, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he took out that giant. Here's what God told me to tell you. If you stop praising, don't worry about it. There's still a praiser on the inside of you. God says, get your sling back out and start praising again. You're about to see giants fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.